now to get into the spirit of arts and culture right now. I feel like, I don't know if this word will offend Steve, but I'm going to call him a veteran clown. We're going to speak to Steve Ward, who has a background in theatre and clowning. And he's got a new release, a new publication coming up for us, and we want to hear all about it. Hello, Steve. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Kim. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Veteran clown? Do you reckon that suits you all right?
Well, I'm certainly prehistoric. I'll give you that.
I didn't say that. You don't have to be old to be a veteran, I'm sure. But it's so lovely to have you on. Thanks for joining me tonight. And very, very interesting reading about you. And I honestly didn't know there was so much involved in the art of clowning. I mean, you literally have a PhD from the University of Hull, and you are a member of the Circus Research Network and the Circus Arts Research Platform. Uh-huh. And these are both international organisations, but I'd never heard of them. Would you want to tell us a little bit about that?
It's mainly the two organisations you've mentioned are really looking into sort of academic research into aspects of circus, both looking backwards into the past historically and looking at current trends and looking towards the future, because contrary to popular opinion, circus is still very, very much alive around the world. And I'm pleased to be part of those groups. And my particular expertise, my academic expertise, is in social history, so I spend a lot of time researching the fascinating and rich cultural and social history that surrounds the circus, particularly in Britain.
Brilliant. Honestly, it's so interesting as well. And we've just spoken to two ladies, Becky and Jules, who are running a youth theatre at the moment, and they are going to be trying to teach circus to some students over Zoom as well. So, you know, maybe it's making a comeback.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, certainly, if you look back historically, there are golden ages of circus, and then during the sort of up until the 1970s. Way before your time, I'm sure.
thanks, Steve.
In the 1970s, circus was, like a definite no-no. The circus had a very bad reputation for all sorts of social reasons. And then in the sort of late 1970s and going into the 80s, you had this creation of what was called new circus, which focused very much upon physical skills and was making circus accessible to everybody, rather than an elite few who were involved in the traditional circus. And out of that grew a tremendous youth circus interest and a youth circus network. I founded the National Association of Youth Circus in the early 1990s, and that's now been subsumed by a group called Circus Works, which is a youth circus organization for the UK. And there is a tremendous membership of that, because a friend of mine who ran the Hungarian State Circus many years ago said to me, the future of the circus lies with the children. And he's absolutely right. If we don't get the interest of the children through various means, then we lose that tradition of circus forever. And although circus will change and reinvent itself as it goes along, we need the youngsters coming through to have that interest. And I hope, to a certain extent, all my research, my historical research, helps inform where the circus goes. Because I certainly believe you need to have an understanding of your art form, the history of your art form, in order to move it forward.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, my most recent, experience of circus is via the film The Greatest Showman. And I found that absolutely brilliant, the film. And I'm sure many of children did too. Now, is that circus to you, Steve?
Sorry, excuse my laughing. My grandson doted on it. He knows every word. He knows every action. He wants to be a ringmaster. Greatest Showman was great. I mean, it raised the profile of circus. It was a great film. Catchy tunes, lots of colourful costumes, great choreography. Very limited on fact, I'm afraid.
Oh no, you're breaking my heart, Steve. No, what do you know? What's the history that I don't know?
Well, for a start, Barnum was in his 60s when he first started in circus. And he certainly wasn't a Hugh Jackman. I mean, yeah, there were elements of it, but as I say, they turned it into a spectacular, which is akin to what circus is. I mean, in terms of American circus, it was very much a spectacular.
Which, do you think that was a good way of, you know, bringing it to the modern day, though? Is that why you think they did that?
I don't know why they did it. Yes, that they had to make it accessible. And you know, I think anything that raises the profile of the circus is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But I look at it with a very, you know, skewed look at it, because I look at it with an academic hat on and I'm sitting there thinking, that's not right. That's not right. How dare they say that? I mean, my grandson, he said, oh, yeah, so that was Barnum, was it? He sang and danced like that. And I said, no, he was an old man when he started the circus. No, he's got black hair. He dances, he sings. That's Barnum. So, you know, you look at it, you take it on board, but the kids loved it. Hey, that's great. I don't mind that.
And you mentioned your grandson, you know, but he wants to be a ringmaster. I mean, that must feel great to think, you know, you've probably done enough as well to inspire your grandson to, you know, you said that you're inspiring the future generations for circus to continue. You've done that.
All of my kids, as they've grown up, and they're in their 40s now, but all of my kids and the vast majority of my grandkids can juggle or do some circus-related activity. This particular lad, he's very keen on magic as well, so he does his own little magic show as well as being a part-time Barnum.
Are you hard on him, Steve? Can you enjoy and just watch him practice his magic, or do you give him all the tips along the way?
Oh, he's great. I mean, I'm hoping that... I mean, one of my other granddaughters who's slightly older, I direct youth circus festivals in Germany, or it certainly did before the pandemic.
Wow.
And, you know, I've had two grandchildren who've been over and taken part with me in international youth circus festivals in Germany. So we keep it as a little family tradition almost. So in time, maybe he'll go as well, and maybe his younger sister as well. Who knows?
Wow, I'm envious. Why am I not in this family circle? It sounds right up my street, this. Now, I mean, that's not why we've got you here, Steve. Oh. I could talk forever and ever about all your circus knowledge. But you've actually published, you've got a new publication called The Artists of Colour, Ethnic Diversity and Representation in the Victorian Circus. This intrigues me so much. I'm going to... Go ahead, please tell me more about this.
Right, well, this is one of the latest of five or six books that I've written on aspects of the history of the circus. And when I was researching some of the other work, it came to light that as I was turning up quite a lot of performers from various ethnic backgrounds during the Victorian time. Now, everybody, and I say everybody, I mean, if I throw the name Pablo Fanca, you may say, oh, I know that, or you may not. But in terms of ethnic minorities, Pablo Fanca is recognised as the first black circus owner in Britain during the Victorian period. It was possibly the first black circus owner in the world, given the state of circus at the time. And everybody accepts that without question. But the more I started researching, I realised that there were other black circus owners, contemporaries of his, and most of them actually came to East Yorkshire during the Victorian period. Oh. Pablo Fank was a regular in Hull and Beverley in that area, but certainly his contemporary, Joseph Hillier, who was, his father was Asian, his mother was Italian, and he was brought over to England by a circus owner when he was very young. He grew up in the circus and eventually took over Ducroft Circus, and they certainly came to Hull. They were at the amphitheatre on the corner of Paragon Street and South Street. There was a big amphitheatre
fantastic.
There. And they came. And some other characters, there were very, very famous lion tamers during the Victorian period, and many of them had either African or African-American, Caribbean heritage. And the first black circus owner I've come across in England was a man called Martini Macomo, who was reputedly from Angola in Africa. He arrived as a seamer, as a teenager, and turned up at a menagerie and said, give us a job, I can work with animals. So they tried him with the lions, and he became a very famous lion tamer. He also he came to Hull on a regular basis during the mid-1800s. His menagerie, they would perform at the Hull Fair.
Fantastic.
And the circuses did actually come to Grimsby as well.
Thanks, Steve.
I had to get that in for you. A big American. American circus came in the 1840s to Grimsby and performed at the, in quotation marks, I looked it up today, it's performed at the Beast Market. They erected a giant pavilion in the Beast Market, I presume that means the cattle market.
Yeah.
and that was the mid-40s, Sands American Circus came there. And later on in the 1800s, somebody applied for a license to erect a circus building, stroke theatre, on Freeman Street. I have no idea what that is in Grimsby. That might mean something to you.
Yeah, it does. That's a very known place in Grimsby, absolutely.
However, the licence was refused by the city of the town authorities on the basis that it would encourage alcoholism, and it might even encourage, dare I say it on air, prostitution. so the licence was refused. But circus was very popular in the north of England, right across the northern areas from Liverpool in the west, right across to Hull in the east.
Wow.
And many of these ethnic minority performers were extremely active and became household names. You have George Christoph, the great African rope dancer, whose grandfather was probably possibly African. He was certainly British born. And he and his brother used to perform as rope dancers, tightrope artists. And we always think of tightrope artists as being lithe and not much weight to them. Well, George Christoph, he was a hefty guy. He was about 12, 14 stone and quite tall. And he was renowned for doing backward somersaults on the rope.
Oh, gosh, that actually turns my stomach a little bit, that Steve.
I'm sure it turned his stomach as well.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Now, you've got these performers in this publication as well, and you've expressed, I wanted to celebrate these iconic figures who are often overlooked. Why was that sort of a point of reference for them? What was it in your research that, really felt, hang on a minute, I want to celebrate these public figures that were about and so well known in the circus industry?
Apart from the one or two very famous names like Pablo Fink, who, within the circus fraternity, if you like, he's always well known. But there are all these others who seem to have been pushed to the edge of history. Some of them, when you're doing your research, some of them you only get one-line references to, a lion tamer of colour, no name is attached, or the African on the trapeze, and they're very often not named. But the more you dig, these names come to light, and the question is just why were these people pushed to the sidelines? And I think it's all bound up in sort of Victorian attitudes to race and colour at that time. And I'm sad to say that some of that still feeds through to today, where these people, and they were iconic figures and should be recognised as having an historical importance. Some of these have been pushed to the margins of history, and I wanted to redress that balance. I wanted to say, look, here are these people. We should be talking about them. We should be mentioning the Macomos and the Joseph Hilliers. Pablo Fink is hailed as being the first black circus owner, and he set up his circus in January 1842. Well, in January 1842, Joseph Hillier took over the running of Ducroft Circus and became a circus manager. But nobody ever talks about him. Miss Lala, I must mention Miss Lala. Born Olga Brown, father was an African-American, mother was German. She was born in North Germany in the 1850s. She became an extremely famous trapeze artist. And, she was renowned for hanging from the trapeze by her knees and then holding in her jaws by a mouthpiece a cast-iron cannon, which was weighing something like about 1,700 weight. And then not only that, they would light the cannon and fire it while she was still holding it in her mouth.
Oh, gosh. And like you say, why would that be missed? Why would that not be shared and celebrated? Because that's absolutely incredible. Now, Steve, this is all in your publication. I'm sure people listening going, wow, there's so much to learn. I'm hooked. I literally could listen to you for hours. You speak about it so passionately as well. And where can people get your publication and get involved and educate themselves on, or maybe the people and performers we've missed out on?
Right, okay. I think you've got the details in front of you, but I'll say it over the phone. Okay, you can go directly to the publisher, which is modernvaudevillepress, all one word, modernvaudevillepress.com/artists/. That will take you direct to the publishing page. You can order it that way. It will appear on the internet book retailers, dare I say the name, but I think everybody knows it. and you should be able to get it at any decent bookshop if you quote the title and my name. If there are anybody out there who wants to get children involved in circus, then if you look on the website, I haven't got the website details, but it is called Circus Works. It's all one word, Circus Works. That's the organisation for youth circus in the UK at the moment. And if you punch in circus schools into a website, you'll come up with a range of courses and things for children around the country. But I would say, yes, I mean, if you're interested, it's out there. And it is an important part of our cultural heritage. It was founded in Britain. The modern circus, in inverted commas, was founded in the 1700s in Britain. We sent it all around the world. We took it to America. It was an English guy who went over to America in the 1790s and established the circus in America. There was an English guy who went to Russia and established circuses in Russia during the reign of Catherine the Great. Philip Astley, the man who founded the circus, he traveled all throughout Europe, went down into the Balkans. Wherever he went, he encouraged people to build amphitheatres to perform circus. He went to Australia with the convicts originally, and then sort of became part of the culture over there, and they built amphitheatres there. Groups went there. It was only a hop, skip and a jump to New Zealand. It went there.
It's just amazing. Gosh, you know so much. Honestly, Steve.
Well, that's why my grandkids call me Dr. Circus.
What a fantastic nickname. Now, Steve, before you leave us tonight, you've moved on to publications now, but would there ever be the return of Steve? I mean, what was your clowning name, Steve?
I had several clown figures. One was Mr. Mephistopheles from the magic and mysterious far east of Leeds. And then I have another character called the Great Wardellini, who is some sort of pseudo-Italian clown magician. And then I have another one called Pellegrini, who is... the Pellegrini were travelling performers during medieval German history. So Pellegrini crops up if I ever go to Germany.
And will they be making return any time ever again?
Well, I'm hoping when this current pandemic's over that we shall go back to Germany. There is another festival mooted there, so maybe Pellegrini will dust off his red nose, and who knows, might appear again. But
and return to Grimsby? What about that?
Well, who knows? The Far East, the magical, mysterious Far East, Grimsby. Yes. Oh, but the hairs on the back of my neck are tingling already.
I bet they are.
Honestly, might be just with fear. I don't know.
Stop it. Steve, thank you so much for joining me tonight. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I've thoroughly enjoyed it.
And I
hope lots of people get involved and get educating themselves on the book, The Artists of Colour, Ethnic Diversity and Representation in the Victorian Circus. Steve, you have a fantastic evening.
Thank you very much, Kim.
Thank you. Wow, what a wonderful chat. I am absolutely flabbergasted. I've got all the information in front of me as well that Steve was talking about. And there is just actually so much on here regarding, the ethnic minorities of the circus that haven't been celebrated. And I think it's great that someone like Steve Ward has been so passionate to point that out and publish something for us to learn a lot more about that. So absolutely brilliant. Coming up, we have got a lot.